Good morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing, and I appreciate you tuning in today. And here comes the sun, but it's a different kind of sun.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Even though George Harrison did a good job on this song. You may feel that long, cold, lonely winter.
Darling, it feels like years since it's been here.
You may feel
here comes the sun.
Sad, lonely,
here comes the sun.
Challenged, depressed.
It's all right.
But here comes the sun, S-O-N, as in Jesus Christ, which is why we exist. So, I don't know how many years we've been doing this now. Mark, how long?
10 years.
10 years plus change. And the reason we do it is we do want to tell you about the sun, our relationship with Jesus Christ. But more importantly, we introduce you each week to individuals that we think are impacting this community for the cause of Christ and his kingdom. And our guest today is Susie McKenzie, who's the founder and executive director of Eagle's Nest Ranch. Susie, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Bright blue colors, pretty smile. I wish you all could see what I'm seeing. And we're awfully pleased you would take time to come and be on our program today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and letting us know occasionally that you are tuning in and you understand what we're trying to do here. So, Susie, we'd like to start by allowing you, our special guest, to share a little bit of your background. So where are you from and what were you doing when you were a kid?
Well, I grew up in Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio, and I loved horses all my life. And God ended up using that to start a ministry later on in life.
You were on a farm or something?
No, I actually lived in suburbia, but I loved horses so much I wanted to be with them. So when I was 12 years old, I started calling around to the local horse stables to see if I could get a job so I could be around horses.
Really?
And because my parents couldn't afford to get me one at that time, and I got a job when I was 12 years old.
Working with horses. Let's see, my dad was playing with the Cleveland Indians in the 40s and 50s. So when I was a kid, we would go to Cleveland every summer and stay in Shaker Heights, which I think is a real wealthy part of town.
Okay.
We'd stay in some guy's guest house in the backyard. But dad, with his World Series money from 1948, bought a farm in western Oklahoma by a town named Cloud Chief. And we would go out there to see his farm and see my granddad who lived in Cordell. And I grew to really hate horses.
Uh-oh.
And cows and
oh,
animals.
No.
And it was miserable. I don't know. They could see that I wasn't comfortable. So you had a knack for it. You just loved them and they knew you loved them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I got my first horse, because our pay for that job was a horse at the end of the summer.
What?
Yeah. So that's how I ended up getting my first horse.
And what was the name of the people that did that for you?
It was Willow Glen Stables. It no longer exists now, but
Willow Glen Stables.
Yeah.
Work here as a kid and we'll give you a horse.
Yeah. It ended up being longer than the summer, but I did get her later on.
My, yeah. How long did you have that horse?
I had her for a couple years, and then I got a young horse, because she turned out to be older than what they'd said. But, you know, she was still the horse I learned on quite a bit. So
where did that come from, you think? Just grew up loving and wanting to be around horses?
Yeah. My parents said when I was two or three, they were driving down the country road and there was horses by a fence. They stopped and got out so I could see them. And after that, I was pretty smitten with them. And I remember being like 6 or 7 years old wanting to be a horse myself. So they've always been a passion in my life.
Now, that reminds me of my son, Andy, who's now in his mid-40s, but when he was real tiny, there was some TV show or movie or something featuring a dog, and my friends would say, Andy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he'd say, a dog.
Okay.
I was thinking, boy, he's shooting for the stars, isn't he? So you wanted to be a horse. That's good. You could identify with that. But the reason we're talking about that so much in her background is as a founder and executive director of Eagle's Nest Ranch, you really call your horses healing horses, and your desires to get the people that participate with you to really experience healing through their interaction and involvement with horses.
Yes, that's very true. That's why we exist. We exist to provide a place of hope, trust, and growth for people and horses so they can soar above the adversities of life.
That's really cool. And let's don't jump there yet. Let me stay with you as a kid. I love the fact that Christ is a God of order and logic. I've been taught, and I always repeat, but he's also a God of the miraculous. So he's not looking like we are. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month. He's kind of looking from a bird's eye view.
Praise God that he doesn't, that he knows it all.
Yeah, and in his sovereignty, he knew that our guest today, Susie McKenzie, needed to get ready to work for all these people that need this involvement with horses, and he needed, and God knew that Susie needed to start and direct Eagle's Nest Ranch. But at what point in your young life there, you found horses first, what point did you find Jesus?
When I was 9, so it was actually before I got my first horse. My mom is the one who led me to the Lord when I was 9 years old.
So you even got the order right, Jesus first.
Then the horses.
Then your dream for life. That's good. So how'd that come about? Church or just at home? Or
sitting at home with my mom and her explaining to me the gospel message that Christ died for my sins and that through his forgiveness I could go to heaven. So at that point I prayed with her to receive Christ as my Savior.
That's the voice of Susie McKenzie, our guest today on You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host, and that's really kind of the core of what we talk about. We let our guests share what they're doing ministry-wise, but personally, everybody comes to the point of a decision, yes or no. What do you do with the claims of Jesus Christ? And sometimes it really does depend on how it's presented. And the simplicity of the scripture sounds like what your mom just focused on. Jesus loves you. You can have a relationship with him, and all you have to do is believe. And
yes.
So even at age 9, that became very real to you.
It did. It did. And God was with me as I grew up. And as a teenager, he called me into ministry. And I went to Moody Bible Institute to prepare for ministry, and then was a missionary in South America for over a 14-year period in the Amazon jungle and then the coast of Colombia.
Tough.
Yeah. Those were not easy places, but I loved it.
I know you have 4 sons. Is that where they were born and partially raised?
Yes. Yes. Three were born in South America and one was born in the United States.
You know, I'm glad God always called me to raise money for missionaries like you rather than be one myself, because Cloud Chief Oklahoma was as crazy as I wanted to experience. I didn't want to go to Peru. But how many years did you say you did that, 14?
Over a 14-year period, yeah, in 2 countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking again, it's interesting how sometimes parents are hesitant to nudge, much less push their kids towards church or Sunday school or vacation Bible school. And yet I think that's the way we're supposed to do it as parents, is expose our kids to the truth that's in the Holy Scriptures. And in my case, our daughter was really little. You were 9. I think she was maybe 4 or 5.
Okay.
And the Sunday school teacher was teaching them about heaven and hell. And Ashley said to my wife, Gary, afterwards, I don't want to go that way. I want to go that way. And what do I need to do? I'm not quite clear on what I need to do. So my wife explained it to her and she prayed to receive Christ.
Well, it's great that the gospel message is simple and easy to understand.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet men through the ages have complicated it to such a degree that I think people get confused about the, you know, the Old Testament's basically just the history of the Jewish people. The New Testament is the life of Jesus Christ, and the book of Revelation is what's to come in the future.
Yeah.
So you just break it down, and it becomes a little more simple than what some people think it is. And the core of that is God loves us and wants to be in relationship with us.
He sure does. He sure does.
So as a teenager, you already felt a calling, which is beyond, listeners, just an idea. I want to be, you know, I wanted to be a baseball player growing up. I wasn't called to it. In fact, I stunk as a professional player, didn't get out of A-ball, but you really felt a calling, which is God kind of speaking to you, saying, I got this for your life.
Yes, absolutely. And that was as a teenager going to my youth group at my church. And the pastor there, I remember distinctly, there was one particular message where he talked about, do you want to be a signpost in the road where people have to choose which direction they're going, or do you just want to be just one along the side that really may not have much direction to it? So I really felt God just calling me into ministry to serve him and to serve others and to help other people.
And you've done it well, and you kept growing in your faith, and you wind back all around to come back to Elizabeth, Colorado, and have this wonderful ministry called Eagle's Nest Ranch. So tell us how that started, if you don't mind.
Sure. So I was, after being a missionary, I ended up back here in Colorado, and a friend gave me the book called Hope Rising, which is written by Kim Meter, and she and her husband run Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch in Oregon. And this ranch is devoted to children and broken children and broken horses. So where they would pair a horse that maybe had been abused or neglected, abandoned, with children that are having difficulties. And so her book, Hope Rising, each chapter is a little story of how a horse impacted the life of a child. And this is a Christian ministry. And after I read that book, it was like, oh man, this puts my two passions together, my love for horses and my love to serve people. And
now, a lot of people may have, you know, a notion like that, but it's rare when somebody gets to go live that out like you have. Mm-hmm. So what were the steps taken to bring about Eagle's Nest?
Well, I know that's a very good question, because a lot of times we hear about something, oh, I want to go do that, you know, but it's important to find out, is that what God wants you to do? You know, is that what he has for your life? And so I decided to go visit this ranch in Oregon. They had information clinics where people can go who are interested in starting a similar ministry, and go and listen and learn for 3 days and kind of drink it all in. And I went in 2008, and I asked the Lord, please show me, is this what you want me to do? Because I already know I want to do this, but I don't want to take any steps to the right or the left if it's not what you have. I didn't want to be anywhere where he didn't have me to be. And while I was there, he gave me the verse in Colossians 4:17 that says, see to it that you fulfill the ministry to which you've been called. And I thought, okay, that's pretty clear, Lord. Thank you. That's pretty clear. So I started on that journey from 2008 to see when and how to do this. I'd never started a nonprofit before, didn't really consider myself to be a leader, but the Lord used the intervening years to prepare me as I worked in a human services agency here in Denver that helped people in crisis. So that really helped me prepare in that way, as far as working for a nonprofit, working and helping people in crisis. And that was the beginning of the journey.
So It's interesting that people that haven't done this don't understand, you know, that the IRS doesn't just hand out right. nonprofit status like candy.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's to be taken seriously.
Yes.
It needs an attorney's attention as you form it, not just for the sake of the donors that help you financially, eventually being able to comfortably take a tax deduction, but more to the point of doing things right and setting it up with a foundation that's in place and solid so the ministry, the organization can grow. I get calls a lot now. I'm turning 69 years old this year, and I've been doing nonprofit work since 1971, really. But I get calls from people all the time that say, you know, Bo, now that I'm getting older and close to retirement, I think I want to do what you do for a life, public speaking and fundraising. Mm-hmm. I'm like, have you ever been a public speaker? Have you ever done any fundraising? No, but it sure looks easy. And I'm thinking, okay,
oh, yeah.
It may look easy from where you're sitting.
Right.
Whatever it is you're doing, you want to do it right. I'm just saying you want to do it right, and you want to set it up right. So the better, I guess I'm trying to say, the better the business side is, the longer the ministry will last. And the two go hand in glove. And if you don't want to pay attention to the one side, you're not going to get to do the other side very long.
So very true.
Sounds
very
like
true.
You paid attention.
Well, the Lord took his time in preparing me. That's for sure. So in 2014, it was when the ranch actually started. But yeah, with the 501c3 determination from the IRS, we waited 17 months for that to come in. It was a long wait. But, you know, that's when you just have to trust God, and you just have to, definitely it's a journey of faith. This whole endeavor has been a journey of faith each
then
day.
Then you have to set up a board of directors and decide, you know, is this something I'm doing as a salary paying job or just something friendly? And then you realize, wait a minute, I'm spending 60 hours a week doing this. I do need to get paid, so I better set up a budget. And you get around to all that eventually, and I'm sure now you have a great group of people on your board.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for them. They're a big support.
So that's another thing. The IRS wants to see that you're meeting, I think it's two or three times a year minimum, and doing things properly. But so tell us what a day looks like at Eagle's Nest Ranch. I mean, how many horses do you have? What's your property? What's the facility like?
Well, right now we're renting a property in Elizabeth. It's 35 acres.
And Elizabeth is south and east of Denver?
Yes, just on the border of Parker, if anyone knows where Parker, Colorado is. We're in Elbert County.
Not far away.
Not far away.
Very handy. Good.
Yeah. And so we're renting that property. One day our dream and what we're praying for is to have our own property where we can establish ourselves. But we have the 35 acres there and a barn. There's a very small apartment in the barn where I live, right with the animals, and it works well. And we have
have a smell issue there. I still have Cloud Chief in my mind and what it looked and smelled like, but maybe barns are different now.
Oh, we get dust and insects, but that's
we
okay.
Do?
I lived in the jungle, so I can do this.
Okay. Well, I hope you got a little window air conditioner or something that cools you off.
I have a nice fan.
Good. Okay. That's going to make me crazy until I see it and can help with it. But
so we have.
You're okay. I'm okay.
We have six big horses, regular size horses, and one miniature horse and a donkey.
And six. So you have people helping you take care of these animals?
Volunteers. And there's quite a lot to do with mending fences and mucking and keeping the barn in order and keeping, you know, recruiting volunteers and doing events and reaching out to the community and networking. Yeah, there's quite a, I wear a lot of different hats.
And does your landlord help with this? Or just
well, they,
says,
okay. As it turns out, they're a Christian ministry themselves, and they had this horse property. The daughter was going to do something similar, and she did for a while, I think, but anyway, they had this horse facility vacant, and so they rent it to us.
Good. Now, how do you find the people to match up with the horses?
Well, I try to let different agencies and networks know. We have a couple of different programs. We serve the military community through our Healing Horses for the Armed Forces program. And in that program serves active duty and veteran service members, as well as their spouses or children. And so that's a pretty cool program. It's close to my heart. And then
someone in the military can come out, bring their family, and have a half day or a day?
Well, people come up for a session. So it's not equine therapy in the clinical sense, but in the sense that horses are therapeutic. A lot of the veterans that come out have PTSD, and they find the horses are very, being around the horses is very, releases stress and anxiety, and it pushes out all their PTSD baggage and thoughts, at least for that time frame, because you put someone in front of a 1,100-pound horse, you're going to pay attention to that.
I had major PTSD 26 years ago. I would even hold my breath unintentionally.
Okay.
My daughter would be looking at me like, why are you holding your breath? I didn't know I was. But I felt good to be home. I'd been through a mess, but it's a real physically imposing problem. And you're saying, I guess you're right.
The horses
really
help.
The horse in front of you would make you pay attention to something else besides your own stuff.
Well, and the horses are a prey animal, meaning that they have to watch out for predators. So a military personnel person can understand that and relate to that. And horses live in a herd. They don't live by themselves. They rely on each other and watch out for each other, protect each other, like a military unit might do so.
Like we all ought to be doing.
Right. Yeah, we need each other, right?
Yes.
And so the horses have a lot to offer. Even though they are looking out for predators, they're very vulnerable. But even in that, they will create relationships with us. And
they'll invite us into whatever herd they're in.
Yeah, if they want to know we're trustworthy and safe, so we have to show that to them and build that trust.
And what are they like? Give me an apple, give me a pat on the face.
Sometimes we have one horse, Danny, who's always looking for food, definitely. But
food's his language of love.
That is his language of love, yeah. He's our biggest horse, too. And he has his own disability.
There's a reason he's your biggest horse. He's eating more than anyone.
There you go.
And what's his disability?
He broke his pastern area in his foot about 13 years ago, and he has two rods and four screws in that foot. And so he has a permanent lameness, but yet God still has a purpose for his life. Just like when things happen to us in our life, maybe things unexpected, our life doesn't go like we thought it was going to be. But yeah, God can still use us and have a purpose. So Danny is there, and he encourages a lot of people. He's a character.
I just thought of a line where Robert Redford as Roy Hobbs is sitting with his childhood sweetheart, and she says, "What happened to you, Roy?" And he said, "Things didn't turn out the way I thought they would." Mm. A lot of people listening today may feel that.
Yeah.
So even in the life of Danny the horse, things didn't turn out exactly right. But you know what? A counselor told me, even when things aren't working out, you can still work out just fine with Christ and seeking what he has in mind, not what you have in mind. So we making right decisions to live in obedience with Christ, no matter what's going on that may look like it's not working, we can still be working out. Which through my mess 26 years ago, it was the best spiritual time, best relational time in our family ever, because we huddled together. And that sounds a little bit like what you create when these people with PTSD show up and connect with Danny or whatever.
Yes, the horses offer so much, and God is the foundation of our ministry. He's the one who heals the broken hearts. He uses the horses to do that.
So if people are wanting to help what you're doing, Susie, this is Susie McKenzie, founder and executive director of Eagle's Nest Ranch out in Elizabeth. If they want to get involved and help support you financially or maybe bring someone out that needs help, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
To go to our website, which is eaglesnestranch.org. There's a way to either call or send an email, and I would be glad to talk to them. There's also online giving is available at our website, eaglesnestranch.org. We also serve first responders, and we also serve the general public. So it's really about the invisible wounds of life. And our mantra is, no matter how dark the day is, there's always hope. There's always hope, even when things look bad. We don't want people to turn to suicide as an option. Many of our veterans do, or other people lose hope, as we've heard recently in the media. And my own mother committed suicide. And I'm just glad to be able to offer this place as an alternative to, for people to find the Lord and to know that He is the one that brings the healing.
So nothing's crammed down your throat, folks. Just go to the website, eaglesnestranch.org. But if you're looking for hope, trust, growth for yourself, for a family member, for a friend, you'll be comfortable with Susie McKenzie, our guest today, and what she does through Eagle's Nest Ranch. Even if you don't feel connected to horses yet, like me, maybe this is your chance to see that these horses want to love you. They want to know that they're safe with you and you're safe with them, and it all just kind of happens.
Yes. Yeah, I had a veteran out the other day who told me he was intimidated by horses, but now he wants to come out himself.
Really?
For a session.
And Hope Rising is a book you'd recommend to people?
Absolutely. Very encouraging book to see how the horses, how God used the horses in Kim Meter's life.
And Kim Meter is...
She and her husband are the founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch in Bend, Oregon.
Broken children, broken horses. Okay, good. Well, we're very pleased with what you do, Susie, and thank you so much for being on our program today. You're a great woman of God, and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thanks, folks, too, for tuning in to You Get the Blessing. We'll see you next week.